Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things Warwickshire and the people who make a difference here.
On this episode of Let's Talk Warwickshire, we'll be looking at how to live healthy, happy and independent lives, how to support those who look after us when we need extra help, and busting some myths around social care. Joining us is Pete Sedgwick, who's the Director of Social Care and Support for Warwickshire County Council. Hello, Pete.
Good morning.
Who does social care involve?
So there are different groups of people that we support across our residents. These range from children with disabilities up until older people. And then in between that range, we have people with mental health conditions who are of working age and people with a learning or a physical disability as well. So it's a full range of people with care and support needs.
And just give me some figures for Warwickshire.
So for Warwickshire, the total number of people that we provide care and support to is around 7,500 at any one point in time. And you'll appreciate within that that people dip in and out. So over a full year, it's generally around 12,000 people that we support within the whole year. And of those, in terms of at any one point in time, the 7,500, the majority of those are older people. So about 5,000 people at any one point in time. And then our younger adults population, so under 65, it's around 2,500.
And what does this care look like? Give me some practicality.
It can take the full range. So some people just have a piece of technology, so a pendant alarm, for example, in their own home. And then perhaps they have some domiciliary care, carers come into their own home. And then at the higher end of support needs, we have people who are cared for in their care home or a nursing home. And sometimes those people have a joint package between the NHS and the local authority at the same time. So it's a full continuum, and sometimes people just need support to access the community. So it's very varied, and that's why we want to be person-centred. So one of the key things for me is that we are here to help people live a life, help them to live a fulfilled life, and just so happens that they have care and support needs, and we're there to help them along on their journey. And people who come into social care, come into local government to do it, that's at the heart of the work that they do. That's why what brought them in. So whether they are qualified social workers, occupational therapists, or social care practitioners, we're all here because we really want to serve the public, but also enable people to live a life.
Social care, whether it's for older people or whether it's for people with disabilities, can be controversial when it comes to the finances, because some people will be asked to contribute. How does that work?
Someone who comes to the local authority asking for some support, as a part of our assessment, people will have a financial assessment, and during that assessment will identify what their contribution to their care costs may or may not be. I think it's fair to say the majority of people who we provide support for make a very small contribution towards that, but ultimately it is a part of our assessment process.
And why is that different when the NHS is free at the point of service?
Yeah, it's one of those historical things. When the NHS was created, it was free at the point of contact. In local government, it isn't. And it comes down to that legislation and the frameworks that we work in. And it is what it is. And we work around that. What I would always say is I wouldn't want people not to come to Warwickshire County Council for assistance with their care and support on the basis of their finances, and that's something that we work through. But ultimately, if people have care and support needs, they need to be met.
And of course, you have a whole group of informal carers, people looking after family members, for example, or even somebody popping round and looking after their neighbour as well. How do you include that as part of the care and support that you do?
Yeah, so we provide assessments to carers, informal carers. So,
And that would be surprising. People probably wouldn't realise that, would they?
No, and to try and engage with informal carers, we've actually got a provider who does those assessments with those individuals as well. So sometimes it can be a bit daunting coming to a county council asking for an assessment. And particularly within the carers groups, and therefore we've got a provider, the Carers Trust, who do those trusted assessments on our behalf. So they'll talk to people. The word assessment has lots of connotations, and all it is a conversation. And therefore we have conversations with people, and the Carers Trust have conversations with people to find out what their needs are and where they can provide some very practical help. Sometimes that means it comes back to the council to give some formal help. Informal carers are really important to the health and social care system. Without them, we wouldn't be where we are now. They're a great resource, and for us in the County Council, we don't want to take advantage of that, and therefore we want to support carers where we can.
And do you think that there are times when carers put their own needs on the back burner?
Yes, that can sometimes happen. And ultimately, that can lead into a spiral of despair for individuals. So they're not coping with their own health and health and care, health and well-being, but they're wanting to support someone else who have greater needs than them. So again, the Carers Trust and us as a local authority, we really want to support carers. So my ask would be, if you are an informal carer out there who feels that actually you're putting your cared for person first to the detriment of yourself, please come to us. You know, our website has lots of information on where we can support you. And sometimes that will be formal support, sometimes that will be informal support. But it becomes counterproductive after a period of time. So it may work for the short term, but for the longer term, actually, you probably need to look after your own health and well-being as well as your cared for person.
So what's the picture in Warwickshire in terms of social care compared with the rest of the country?
It's really hard to kind of benchmark ourselves against others. I suppose if we look at some of the information that we get from the local government association and others, actually we generally are in that middle ground of the challenges that social care faces across the country. One thing that listeners may not be aware of is that the remit that we have is a national remit. So whether people receive some support from us as a local council in Warwickshire is the same as the Wirral and Worcestershire. So the reason for us being here is the same, and the types of services that we provide are the same as well. There may be some small changes, but ultimately across the country, the level of support that people should be receiving is the same. One of the things that we talk about is starting with strengths. So that's something that social care and support is all about. And therefore the conversations that we have with individuals, with people, with family, are generally around not just about the negative. They don't start with the negative, they start with the positive as well, and what people can do and how they can contribute to meeting their own care and support needs and maintaining their well-being.
And any of us at any time could need social care and support from organisations like the County Council. Is there anything we can do, I'm thinking particularly in terms of as we all get older, to help ourselves stay living well?
Yeah, so this is around your general health and well-being. Within Warwickshire, there are different ways of doing this, as well as in other parts of the country. So we have our 5 Ways to Wellbeing programme, and you can look at our website, and there's information around that on there. People maintaining their health, so making sure you keep up to date with your NHS, your doctor's checks. And there's lots of work that's done around screening. Part of this is around people maintaining social connection. So one of the things is around the importance of mental well-being and how that impacts on people's physical well-being, and therefore being a part of social clubs, interacting with others, whether it's neighbours, etc., or groups, is really important. But keeping on top of your mental and physical well-being is really important for your longevity. And I think a part of maintaining your well-being, whether physical or mental, is when you start to have challenges, is to reach out to others. There's plenty of support out there in terms of early engagement when people are starting to struggle, and therefore to try and nip things in the bud is way better than having to treat them later on.
And there is a tendency to think if somebody needs care that they actually are incapable of doing anything and that everything has to be done for them. But that's not the case in the range of work that you do here.
No, and it's the wrong emphasis. The emphasis that we should put on is that people may need care and support to live a life, but the emphasis is on the individual and enabling them to live a life. And ultimately, lots of the listeners and I at some point may need care and support, and it may be that it's through older age and through conditions that come through that. It may be that I have a medical episode that means that. So no one is outside the reach of social care and support within their life, and it's important for us to acknowledge that these are the most vulnerable people in our communities, often the unseen people in our communities. And therefore, as a part of this podcast, it's about raising that profile to our general residents around the work that we do and the importance of it.
And what made you go into this work?
There's a long story, but the short story is I love people. And I started off my career working in care homes, and it's gone on from there. But at the heart of it, I love people. Love to see people living a life and everyone being equal. So one of the things is sometimes people with disabilities can be seen as not the norm, whatever the norm is. And a part of my personal view is that We're all equal in society in terms of our contribution, whether you have a disability or not. And one of the things that drives me is that living a life. And therefore, if I can enable an older person or a child with a disability to live a life and live a fulfilled life, that's my role. And over the years, I've done lots of different jobs. I'm a social worker by background, and I just happen to be in the job that I'm in now.
So if other people feel passionate about this sort of work, the work that you do, how can they get involved?
Oh, there are so many ways. So I suppose my first point would be for those school leavers. I think sometimes care and the care sector, health and care sector, can be seen as a bit of a fallback. I would suggest to people who have a passion for people not to use it as a fallback. There are plenty of opportunities around volunteering. And again, I started doing volunteering in a care home. That's where I started my career. And therefore, if you're interested in people, there are many opportunities out there with many care providers that are independent of the council where you can go and do some volunteering to get some experience. And then from there, you can take some formal courses. So I did a social work degree, but I did that after working in care for 10 years. So you don't have to jump straight to the end point in one foul swoop. You can work in care homes, domiciliary care. One of the things for us in the council is that we have a progression. So within my service area, people can come and join as an unqualified worker and gain some experience and then go in through an apprenticeship to get a formal qualification. So there are many opportunities for people. And what I would say is that if you're interested in working in care and support, the County Council website is a really good place to go to. There are other websites too. It's just warwickshire.gov.uk/jobs. And that's got opportunities for volunteering as well. So volunteering is a really, really good starting point. But if you've got a passion for people, I can guarantee you, you can have the career that you want to have within social care. And if you go in with the right attitude, you'll do really well.
Okay, that's lovely. And just going back now to people who may need support from the County Council, where can they get that information?
Yeah, so a really good starting point is our Living Well website. So that's warwickshire.gov.uk/livingwell. But if you're using a search engine, just put Warwickshire Living Well and it'll take you to the page. And that has the full range of things that can be on offer, so the formal and the informal. One of the pages that it will take you to, which is one of my favourites, is Ask Sarah. So again, if you've got a search engine, go for Warwickshire Ask Sarah. And that basically you can do a self-assessment. So it's particularly aimed at people who live in their own home and need some support, and it can give you all sorts of advice on how you can live independently. But it's a really good starting place. And then from that, if you feel that you need a more formal support, you can dip back to Living Well, and that enables you to go through, explains all the financial bits, combating loneliness. So it's a real good range of information, but it's a really good starting point.
So for people who don't have access to the internet, how do they get any information?
The most simple way of doing it is we've got a telephone number, which is 01926 410 410, and that's a good point for people who haven't got access to the internet, and they'll be able to talk you through the advice that we are able to offer and the support. And what I would say is also there are places within libraries where they'll have information and advice. But yes, in an age where everything's digital, we are very aware that some people don't have that digital engagement, and therefore that's where neighbours and others are important as well. And therefore, actually, if you feel you've got care and support needs and you don't have access to the internet, you can use that number, or you can chat with your neighbours who may have that access.
So really your advice is there is help, there is support out there, just ask.
Yeah. And again, raising awareness for people who you may know, who you may feel have care and support needs that aren't being met. So it's that general awareness. And going back to lots of people feel that they need to have the answers. You don't need to have the answers. That's what we're here for. And therefore, making that first contact with us is really important, because we can offer support. We can stop things escalating. And therefore, again, go back to the website is a really good port of call for that as that starting point. But we're here to enable people to live a life. And therefore, that's what we want to do.
Pete Sedgwick, Director of Social Care and Support for Warwickshire County Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you.